Welcome to the Beauty Bar, where we tend to beautiful people just like you. We're your hosts, Joan.
And Stephanie.
And we want to make sure you're treating not just your face, but more importantly, your face. Yourself, right? I do this. This is my second time doing this. It's okay.
It's okay. Cute. Believe it.
Yeah, it's cute. Believe it.
It's fine. Today, we're talking about the elusive high fashion modeling world. And we just had the pleasure talking with male model Matthew from New York, who is also a huge TikTok star.
Yes. And I'm not a model. You are. He is. And so I was so fascinated by the scouting process and what goes on in your guys' heads, what you guys think about. So this is a very informative episode for those who want to become models, because I learned a lot and I feel like maybe I can go to a festival right now in a really cute outfit, and who knows? Who knows?
Hold up a sign.
Yeah, hold up
sign
a sign.
Me.
Sign me.
It was really interesting because also, number one, he's a male model. So that whole side of the industry definitely is different. And also, I didn't do as much runway because I'm a shorty.
Yeah. There was an episode where Ashley was here and we were all standing up. And in the comments, people thought like she was standing up and we were sitting down. No, 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 no. Stephanie and I are the same height and
we're
Ashley
shorties.
Is just really tall. I just laughed when I saw those comments because I was like, no, we're all standing.
We're the minis.
We are. If you don't know who Matthew is, you might have seen him on your TikTok For You page. He's done a lot of content on the backstage of modeling. He's walked for major brands and worked with brands like Calvin Klein,
Dior.
Yes, and he talked about a little bit about how he met A$AP Rocky, right? I think that's what it was. So he's a big deal right now. And
one of his videos actually went viral about what he thinks while he's walking on these major runway for these huge shows.
Right.
So I'm...
You can relate.
I mean, I don't really do runway.
I mean, but you can relate to the whole process of modeling though. Like what goes on in his mind when you're getting ready, when you're getting ready for a shoot. Things like that, right?
I think about what I'm going to eat later. I'm just so excited. I'm like, tonight it's samgyeopsal.
So we are going to go straight into the interview. But before we get started, make sure to follow and review this podcast on Spotify and on Apple Podcast. And if you hate ads, consider becoming a member of the Dive Studios Patreon, where you can access ad-free episodes. Let's welcome a new beautiful face to the show, a high fashion model on the runway and TikTok, Matthew, right? Hi.
Hi. Yes. Welcome. Yes, welcome.
Yes. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good.
It's very early.
It's really late for him, so I guess it works out, right?
You're in New York right now?
I am. Yeah, I'm at my apartment in New York. I just moved here.
I am so jealous. You are living the TikTok dream. I feel like a lot of TikTok, you see a lot of New York vlogs on TikTok. Is that why you wanted to also move there? Because there are so many places to... No, that's not why?
No, I just like, you have to kind of like choose like to work, to live in New York, Paris, Milan, or London. And since I'm American, I just thought New York would be the place to go. And it's worked out so far. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen your photos of the runway. I was like, on the runway. I was like, yes. But you're originally from Canada? No, did I get that wrong? Canada, right?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And then you moved just recently to New York.
Yeah, so it's kind of a complicated story. So I was born and raised in Toronto. And then when I was 14, I moved to Indiana. Which is like some random state in the Midwest.
I've actually been there.
Really?
No way.
I have.
For what?
To drive past.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, yeah. To just go through it to get somewhere else.
Yeah, to New York.
That's realistic. Yeah. And then I moved back to Canada for 2 years to go to University of Toronto. And then now I'm taking a year off of school, and I moved to New York. And then in a year, I'll have to see like whether I want to like go back to college or like keep modeling full time.
That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah, really living cool. living the dream.
Yes. Yeah,
and you were scouted, right?
Yes, I was. Oh, my God. This story is so crazy. And I feel like I never get tired of telling it, even though I've said it like probably like 50 times. Like, I was at a music festival in Toronto, an EDM festival called Veld, and it's super crazy, and it's, like, my favorite 2 days out of the year, like, every single year. And I was just with my friends, and we were walking from, like, one stage to the other, and this guy that I didn't know, it's just a random guy, like, pulls me away from my friends, and it's like, are you represented by anyone? And I was like, I had to think about it, because I didn't even know what he was talking about. And I was like, no, I guess not. And he gave me his card and was like, I think that you should be like a runway model. Like, I think this would be like really good for you, blah, blah, blah. I really think you should do this. And I just took his word for it and went for it. And then it kind of worked out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like even more the dream.
Yeah.
I love hearing those stories of people who just randomly get discovered.
It's really, really, really common. Concerts especially. Like almost every other model I've talked to is like I was at like a Lil Yachty concert or I was at Rolling Loud, and like they all get scouted at concerts. It's super weird.
They're that's a great tip for people who want to be models. Go to every single festival.
I was scouted at the mall.
Oh, for real? No, but my agent does that too. I see him in the mall when I'm shopping for clothes, and he's just looking for other models.
They do that. And even us, I was with Wilhelmina, and they always said, if you see somebody that you think has potential, like when you're out somewhere, give them like our card, and they would cut you like a percentage.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like you were putting them on.
Yeah.
How did your family initially feel about you being approached for modeling? Were they supportive?
Well, no, not at the beginning. They thought it was a scam. And you know, I thought it was a scam too, because I was like, when I got the card at the festival, I was like, I have to be cautious about this, because I didn't think it was very common for people to be scouted at music festivals. So I was like, this is just like a weird place to be like, you know, scouting for runway models. But then my agent came in and we had lunch. He took me and my parents out to lunch, and he needed to take my parents out because I was 17 at the time. So like I wasn't an adult and I couldn't even sign the contract by myself. So he needed their approval. And he like sat them down and he basically like calmed them down and was like, this is not a scam. And basically you can tell whether it's a scam or not based on whether they're charging you for test shoots or not.
Oh.
So like if you're signed to Wilhelmina, you know, the scammy agencies are like, okay, we want to sign you, but let's do a $2,000 test shoot to get your digitals. It should always be free, and they should just take a percentage of your work so that they want to give you work. That's how it should work. And then when my dad heard that, he was like, yeah, okay, that's cool. We can do this.
No, I love that you're saying that, because many people, they want to get into modeling so badly and they get taken advantage of. And like you said, you should never pay up front. If the agency believes in you, they will then basically pay up front and then later just take it out of your income, what you make for them.
Yeah.
And oh, that's like, but I know I would feel the same. I did the same thing when I first got scouted. I was like, is this real? And so good. I think it's good for your parents that they were suspicious.
Yeah.
Because who knows?
You are right. Like, it's really unfortunate. Like, they really do, like, take advantage of, like, a lot of kids. Because it's, like, a lot of people, like, grow up and, like, modeling is, like, their dream. And then they just run into the wrong agency and the agency just takes advantage of them. And then after that $2,000 test shoot, they basically, like, you don't hear from them, like, ever again.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when did you realize, wow, this is actually the real deal? What was like your first big job?
So my first job ever was the Calvin Klein show in New York when Raf Simons was the creative director. And I was actually exclusive for that. So they booked me like ahead of time, and I couldn't, like, even if I wanted to, I couldn't work for anyone else until the show happened. And that show was when I was like, okay, this is like for real, for real. Like when they were talking to me after the show and they were like, ASAP was there, Millie Bobby Brown.
Oh my gosh.
Like Stranger Things season
one
had just came out.
ASAP.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And so after I heard that, I was like, yo, this is crazy. And like, I don't know, just like talking to the other models that were like doing this as a career, I was like, maybe I could do this as a career. Mm-hmm. And then I quit my job back home, like after that show. It was like I had only done one show and I was like, okay, I'm done. Like, quit
wow.
my job.
So yeah. You were 17 when you did your first project?
Yes.
And it was a major project.
That's huge.
Yes.
Wow.
And my agent had to chaperone me. And my first season in Paris and Milan, my parents flew out with me because I was 17. And it was really sweet because like I got to like bring them backstage and like they got to see like the life, and like my dad like drove me to castings in a rental car. Like it was just like
I
the
love
best
that.
Yeah.
That is
aww.
So cute.
It was
the best
because yeah. many times when the models come to Asia, they're like 16, 17, or even younger. I've seen girls here as young as 14 and they come without their parents. And I'm like, how do you even? Because me, I started when I was like 18, 19. So I was relatively old when I got scouted. And doing everything by myself, it was quite overwhelming. And especially if you're in a city you don't know. So I'm a little bit jealous that, you know, when you kind of started that you had like your parents there. And because I'm like, where is anything? Oh, my God, where do I go?
Yeah.
That's lovely. And I think your parents also could then trust that this is real because they actually got to see behind the scenes a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. They got very comforted by it. And they, so basically, Milan is first, London is second, and Paris is last. For men's, so they stuck with me in Milan and in London, and then in Paris, there were a few days where they were just like, you know, like you can do this like by yourself. Just like they had to come with me to the shows, but for the castings and the fittings, they were just like, yeah, go ahead.
They're like, go ahead, we'll go to the Eiffel Tower. We'll have our own little vacation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
But I had a question. So you said your first big job, Calvin Klein runway show. How did you know how to walk, how to do it? Did you just kind of go by feeling? Because there's no like class. They're like, here you go. Good luck.
Exactly. Right. And a lot of people don't know that there's no like, they don't show you like a YouTube video on like a walking tutorial. It's just like you kind of just like figure it out by yourself. Like, so I should make a TikTok video about this, but my agent flew with me to New York because, and he ended up being my chaperone for the show. And he, basically we were in the hotel that, Calvin put me up in, and it was before like the fitting. And he was just like, he took me out into the hallway of the hotel and was just like, okay, Matthew, we got like 1 hour and we just have to get you like runway walk, like ready, like right now. So he just like had me walk up and down the hallway, and just like gave me pointers. Like the thing about the runway walk though, is it's not like, not everyone's is the same, and some people do certain things and it still has to feel natural. Like you can't, if you like, swing your arms when you walk and someone's telling you don't swing your arms, it's just gonna come out like rigid and weird. So you have to find like your own walk. But his thing was always like the pace, because like how fast it is, that can't change no matter what else you're doing with your walk. Like it has to be fast. So he kept on drilling me and he kept on being like, faster, like walk faster, like keep your back straight, like just these little tips until I finally got it. And then you get in the fitting and you black out. Like it's just like, it's just muscle memory at that point. And like, you're not, after the fitting's over, you're like, I'm not sure if like my walk was good or not, but it ended up working out.
Did you watch?
Left, right, left, right, left, right.
Yeah. You can really psych yourself out. Like if you think too hard, like you'll start like, you know how when you walk with opposite arm and leg. Like, if you psych yourself up too much, you can start with the same arm and leg, and then your walk gets all, like, scrambled after
You're
that.
Like, what do I usually do when I go judge with
exactly.
my hands?
How do I even walk anymore?
Yeah. Did you watch a lot of fashion shows before? Because I feel like if I... Not at all? At all?
No,
really?
No, even after
you signed with the agent and you knew you were going to be walking, you were like, okay, I'll just wing it sort of thing?
He showed me some videos of his other models that were signed walking, like their digitals. But I didn't watch like, you know, like 90s archives or even like the previous seasons, like what kids were walking. I was just like, yeah, I had no idea.
Wow. I have a question because you did blow up on TikTok. You did appear on my For You page a few times about the behind the scenes exposing the runway contents. And I want to know, were your agents and other professionals telling you to utilize social media, or was it just something you wanted to do naturally? Because you were very young when you started, and I feel like that's when a lot of people started to post more on Instagram and TikTok. I really want to hear about this. Are they mad that you're exposing the runway? What's all the details on that?
I wouldn't say, like, I'm not exposing anything. Mm-hmm. Like, it's I tend to associate exposing with, like, something negative, like you're outing someone. Mm-hmm. But I'm really just, like, showing, like, the process from a model's perspective. You know, I'm not, there's no big scandal I'm revealing or anything like that. But to answer your question, like, basically, so I was on TikTok early, like, way back in the day, like, 2018, 2019. So I spent, like, a good, like, year and a half, like, using the app and not posting on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, I think it was right when COVID hit, I was really bored. Like, I was hella bored.
Were we all?
Yeah, just sitting in the house, and then you're just, like... And then I thought to myself, like, you know, I've been on this app for like a year and a half and there's no other runway model making content. Like, I see all my, like, my coworkers on Instagram all the time. And every runway model has, like, an Instagram that they post their shows and their shoots on. But I was like, I've not seen, like, a single one of these kids on TikTok yet. So I just started and I made a few videos, and my first video that blew up was I was at my house in Indiana and my parents keep all my editorial magazines that I have that I'm in. And I just made a quick little video of, like, my magazines, and then that's the first video that blew up, and I was like, okay, let's just, like, take it from here.
Wow, you just never know what's gonna do well on TikTok.
That's like the craziest thing is I could put so much like hours and hours of effort into a video and it'll get like no views compared to my other ones. And then I make a 2-second video about, like, hey, one time ASAP Rocky was behind stage, like backstage at Raf Simons, and it gets 4 times as many views. Like, I never know which videos are going to do well and which don't.
Wow. And it changed also so much. When I started 10 years ago, like, Instagram was barely like a thing, but now when I was in LA, at every casting they would ask about your social media handles, and they would definitely prefer models who have like a higher follower count than like models who wouldn't. And it became like such a thing, and also pressure from the agents being like, work on your social media, like it was just got so stressful.
I think that's kind of toxic though. It's like social media still should come from a place of like fun, and like when you start putting pressure on growing, then you might start making content that you don't enjoy making just to get views, and that's not healthy. And I think I still don't like, obviously it plays into my strengths when a casting director is like, how many Instagram followers do you have? How many TikTok followers do you have? But I still don't, it feels uncomfortable when people ask, because it's like, are we really putting like a worth on followers like so directly? Like, I know we as a society already do that. Like, when you see someone with lots of Instagram followers, you're like, oh, this person's cool, like automatically. But to put it in such a like a direct way, like, oh, this is going to affect whether you get this job or not, like, it feels bad, like, no matter what, it feels bad.
Yeah. Right.
You sort of did start organically, even on TikTok. Yes, you got scouted at a festival, but you were able to utilize TikTok at the rise of TikTok, and here you are. On your first podcast, right?
Yeah, on my first podcast. Like, you guys are my number one.
Please record that and keep that everywhere. I would love that. Oh my gosh. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, now that you've been modeling for a few years now, did you have any expectations when you first started or even before you got scouted of, oh, this is how I kind of imagine what a model is like or what the work is like versus what now the reality of it is?
So I thought it was like a lot more glamorous than it is, especially when you're a new face.
You know,
I think you know what I'm talking about. You're
like, oh, the jadedness.
Oh, already? Oh, man.
When you watch like movies like Zoolander, or when you think even just about runway modeling, like Naomi Campbell and all that, you think about like the most glamorous, like very like luxe, rich lifestyle. But when you're a new face and you're 17 years old and you're basically, when you're a new face, you're making like no money. Like, you're working a lot because you're a new face, but your rate is so low because you're a new face and you haven't proven yourself. You're like slumming it out. Like, you're in model apartments, like with like eight other guys in one room, like triple bunk beds, like rats and roaches. And then at this, but it's such a weird dynamic because it's like, I literally am sleeping next to a rat in my room, but I have to wake up the next day and I have to walk for Ralph Lauren. Like, it's, and you show up and it's, the show is super posh and all that. Mm-hmm. And then you go home from that job and you're like, oh my God, like, this is disgusting.
Don't believe everything you see on social media.
Yeah. Right? It's definitely not as luxe. It can be sometimes, but it's usually not as luxe as people think.
Yeah. I go home and eat cup ramen and I'm like, this is not what it was on set.
Yeah. Exactly.
You expressed that you were able to make genuine connections and friendships with people such as designing teams and fellow models. But is there a truth behind the catty stereotype of being a model?
No. Not that I've experienced. Mm. Like, sometimes you just run into people that are a bit nosy. Like, they're like, oh, did you confirm that? Did you get option for this? But, I mean, to be honest, for the most part, like, no one really cares. It's more like just having, like, a big group of friends. Mm-hmm. I would compare it, actually, if you guys know, to Formula One teams. Like, it's a very small, tight-knit group of guys. Mm-hmm. And we're all kind of friends because we all do the same jobs. Mm-hmm. And we see each other all the time at castings, at fashion weeks, and on set. But yeah, at the end of the day, you kind of are competing with them, but I don't think we really like let it get to us. Like, we're all just super nice and friendly still.
Oh, that's so important. Otherwise, it also takes out the fun.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes there'd be like this one random girl or guy who's like super weirdly competitive and it's like, okay, like, calm down. Like, it's all good.
It's a good
thing. Or like super braggy, like, that's the worst.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, oh, I just confirmed this thing with this photographer, and I'm like, I don't care, man. Like,
I don't care, man.
Good for you. Yeah, happy for you, but
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you don't have that toxic environment then. I think you got really lucky.
I think I can't say this for sure because I'm not a girl, but I think it is like a little bit more competitive for girls because there's more at stake. Mm. Like, the rates are higher, the jobs are more like intense, the work is more intense in general. So I think it can be a little bit more competitive for them. But for guys, it's like less high stakes. So it's like everyone's kind of more chill.
I'm always a little bit jealous of male models because they take such less time in hair and makeup. I'm so jealous. I would sit there for hours and they're pulling my hair and doing this. Yeah. And it would be crazy. And male models, they're like in and out, rub on some body oil and they're good to go. And
yeah, it's like the girls have to get there, like, their call time is like an hour earlier than the boys, and they're the first ones in the hair and makeup chair.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the time you arrive, the girls are walking out all fully glammed up.
They're like on their fourth coffee.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly. Sometimes it takes a while with me though. Like if they need to straighten my hair, that's usually a big ordeal. Like hours in the chair. Just like every single strand of hair getting flat ironed.
Yeah.
And they're like, then don't sit there and don't touch anything. Don't move.
Yeah.
You just sit there in the chair. Don't wrinkle the clothes, but don't sit down, but also don't stand.
What? I can't do it. I respect you guys a lot. I never really heard a lot of the behind the scenes of models. So I like learned a lot today. And I feel like a lot of listeners who want to be models will get a lot out of this episode because I didn't know that you can get scouted at festivals. And I feel like, oh, I should have been to more of those when I was younger. Or I don't know. It's just it's really cool to listen to. So yeah, thanks for sharing. Yeah.
Do you have any other advice for people who want to break into the industry?
I would just say in general, like, don't let it get to your head too much. Like, if you want to be a model, make sure that you want to be a model for like the right reasons. And if it's getting very toxic and mentally draining, because it does, because the industry is at the end of the day, like based on looks, like, don't get me wrong, like having a great personality helps a lot with castings and you can make connections with people and that really helps a lot. And sometimes for a campaign or a shoot, they just need like someone with a great personality that's going to show on camera. But if it is getting to you mentally, like it does for me sometimes, just because when you're not working and you're not getting booked in those slow periods of up and downs, it's like it gets to you because it's like, oh, this is because of the way I look. And if you start thinking about that too much and it gets too toxic, then I would recommend just to like stop. And if I ever get in that way, I promise you, I will stop as well. Like, it can't be a toxic industry. Like, if it's toxic for you, then it's not healthy.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. It's definitely, like you said, because it's so much about looks. Just trying to keep, you know, a good, cool head about things and not take it too serious all the time, which is hard sometimes. Because, you know, it's like, it's everything. But like you said, it comes in such waves. Like, there will be months or weeks where I'm working every day. It's so busy. I don't even know my own name. And then there's, like, weeks where I'm just like, la, 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 at home. Like, oh, what's happening? And, like, being okay with that, it took me a long time to be okay with that. And you probably go through that, too, where it's like, Joan's like, I'm always busy. I'm up to here.
It's a different job though. Yeah, so I do, I don't think I could do what you guys do because I do know that you have to wake up super early. You have to have pounds of makeup or hairspray on you. And I hate that feeling. And I do want to ask you on how you take care of your skin and hair later. So it's a different job. So it balances out, I guess.
Oh my, I started this. I have this pet peeve now of people washing my hair.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because sometimes on set, they'll like, they'll wash your hair before. I just started hating it. Oh. I don't know why.
They always tell me, come with my hair dirty. Like, I can't wash it. Like,
yeah.
They're like, don't wash your hair. So they'll be like, sometimes like 5 days in a row where I'm just not washing my hair every day.
I read that somewhere.
Love the grease. Like, yes.
Yeah. Natural.
They love the grease. They for real do. Yeah.
So after the runway with all that hairspray, you come home and you still can't wash that off?
Sometimes. And sometimes that's the worst because it's usually during fashion week. So most times, like, you get out from the show and, like, for me, it's usually when they straighten my hair and put product in it. So my hair is, like, one, with all the hairspray, it's one solid object. Like, it all moves in one, you know, in one piece. And I'm just like, oh my God, like, I have, like, a casting, like a callback to go to right now. And I obviously can't show up with my hair as like one, like it looks like Lego hair. Like it looks like it just got painted on a bald head. And I'm like, oh shoot. So you're in these small European bathrooms with this sink that's the size of like this cup right here.
Yeah.
And you're trying to wash all that out, but the the sink is like motion activated, so it's only coming in bits and pieces.
Those.
It's a nightmare sometimes. Like, yeah. It's the worst.
Wow. So how does a fashion week usually look like for you? How can we imagine your schedule?
It like depends, especially right now since it's COVID. It's very odd. Like, there's not all the shows are happening. Like, some brands have elected to still do digital shows or whatever. And I've noticed that there's a lot more brands doing shows outside of Fashion Week or during Fashion Week, but in different cities. Like, if it was Milan Fashion Week, there's a lot of shows in like Florence and Rome and just like cities around that. But for a typical Fashion Week, you pull up on the first day and it just starts right away. Like, you have like castings to go to, and it's like every day is just hectic. It's like you'll have like castings, fittings, shows on like every day of the week if you're having a great week. So yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really move in like a wave. Like, it, I wish it did. I wish it was like castings at the beginning of the week, fittings in the middle of the week, and shows at the end of the week. But unfortunately, that's just not how it goes.
It's all mixed together.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's messy.
Wow. Do you have any anything you would like to pursue after modeling or in the future?
Oh, yeah. What did you want to do before modeling?
Yeah. What did you go to? What did you study?
Yeah, I was a marketing student.
And
I really enjoyed that. Yeah. I thought it was like the coolest major in business was marketing.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of sick. And like, when or if, like, because modeling is a very, like, you either, like, make enough money in, like, your small frame of window to live forever, or you get this longevity that you can work for longer than usual in the industry, and then you're fine. But if either of those don't happen, I would just go back to college, finish my degree, and then become a marketing manager.
Yeah, nice. And you'll have the actual experience of what it's like to be a model and how to, I don't know, that's awesome. It just worked out so perfectly.
I would love to do like something with like fashion marketing, because there's a lot of marketing that goes into marketing clothes. So, and then my resume would be like super
I'm a model. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what those interviews would be like. Interviewee would be like, all right, so it says here you were a model. And then I feel like for any interviews, if you sound interesting and if you make it seem like you changed the entire modeling, you know, entertainment, I feel like the industry, I feel like it would be very beneficial to anything you do, really.
I actually put modeling on my university application.
Oh,
I think it helped a lot. Yeah, I just put a link to my models.com profile, which has all my jobs and shows on it. And I think it actually helped like a lot. I think it might have been what got me in, maybe.
Did you do interviews for college, or was it just a application process?
No, they just like let me in after the application.
They're like, model, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Tech, do you want to be on the next textbook cover?
Or the college gear cover?
You want to model the UFT gear.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. I wish. That would have actually been pretty cool.
All right. So we want to ask you, since it is the beauty bar, what is your typical skincare and beauty routine like?
Right. My skin is actually like not like super super duper clear, like, and I think it's probably because of the way that I work. Like, these days, like, with like how I have to fly, I take like 4 flights a week on average, and what happens with the mask is your skin gets all gunked up during the flight, and it's already dry on the plane, so that just makes it like 10 times worse. And then like with the makeup and all that, like, honestly, like, I think it's a big misconception that models have perfect skin. And I think it's important for everyone to know that they don't. And I've seen your favorite runway model, no matter who it is, and without makeup on, they do still have blemishes on their face. That's important for everyone to know, because if even runway models have acne, then it's completely normal for everyone. But honestly, my skincare routine is Philosophy products, like their Purity face wash, and their Purity Exfoliating Face Wash, and Innisfree.
Oh, yes.
Korean skincare yes. brand. I use their green tea stuff. Yeah.
Oh, green so tea
that's
stuff.
My moisturizer. Yeah. Oh, that's my nice. Moisturizer and my balancing whatever.
Yeah. Oh, but that's such a good point, especially, you know, as a working model, the amount of makeup they slap on your face almost daily. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do. And then also all the flights you take, you will break out, definitely. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think it's very good that you also put awareness to that, that no, models also have bad skin.
Yeah.
And it's exactly. all good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I really mean that, like, you're, yeah. like, the most, like, even the most, like, well-known, famous models, like, they still, like, come to work sometimes, they've got a pimple, and it's, like, no big deal.
Yeah.
Like, it's perfectly fine, it's chill.
It is. I saw a fashion show where they didn't cover any acne. I forgot who it was, but I thought that was really cool. Mm-hmm. They just focused mm-hmm. on the clothes and just showing the naturalness and realness of skin is skin. We're all human. And I feel like there should be more fashion shows mm-hmm. like that because it's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a trend I've noticed because there was a period in COVID where they opted to not have hair makeup on set because it was another liability for COVID mm-hmm. spread. And yeah. I've noticed that there's some brands that just like, even now that everything's kind of back to normal, they have the hair makeup people for hair, mm-hmm. but they just kind of leave the skin alone sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think that's like kind of nice. Yeah.
Mm. Very refreshing. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your beauty secrets with us. I feel like you have a great routine going on and your
thank
skin
you.
Looks great.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking
glowy.
About.
It's yeah. it's getting dry now and mm-hmm. like wintry. And I've got this big like light in my face. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But thank you.
Is New York getting really cold? I'm going next week,
yeah.
so I want to know.
It's on and off. So today it was like 70, uh-huh. but there was like a couple times in like the past like few weeks where it was like 50s and 60s. Uh-huh. So it's like up and down, but it's getting cold for sure.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Good luck.
I like the cold though. So I'm excited. Maybe I'll be able to see you while I'm there.
Sure. I'm going to Montreal and oh. I have no idea where I'm going to
oh, okay.
be after Halloween. Mm.
Okay.
I could be somewhere else in mm. Europe. Or something.
Oh,
we'll
that's,
see.
You're
that's busy.
Where I'll be.
Oh, really? You're going to?
I'm going to Germany.
Next month?
In December.
Oh.
I'm like, what month is it? I'm so excited.
No.
I've only been to Germany once, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I hope you had good food and good beer.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time.
No
and
problem.
We hope to see you here in Korea.
I
ever.
Oh,
yeah.
I need to, like, say something about this.
Yes.
I'm half Korean and I've mm-hmm. never been to Korea and I've been modeling for 3 years as like a consistently working model
mm-hmm.
and I've no Korean brand has ever booked me. So I'm like, someone needs to like get me out there.
All right,
oh
Innisfree, come on. You
we'll
heard
start
it.
Putting up the flyers today.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So hopefully sometime soon I'll be out there and I could see y'all or something.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Korea is really mm-hmm. fun. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it would be yeah. awesome if you could come here. And they even have Seoul Fashion Week here.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I know because the street style for Seoul Fashion Week
yeah.
is the best. And the editorials out in Korea are crazy. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, yeah. they're so good. The fashion magazines, yeah. mm-hmm. I love doing editorials here. They're mm-hmm. just...
Yeah.
They make me look so good. I'm like, yes, I love it.
So yeah, if any one of those, please book mm-hmm. me. Like I'm trying to see my homeland for real.
Yes. If anyone's listening to this episode right now, please contact Matthew. Yeah. Hopefully we have someone listening.
Yeah.
All right, so it's time to wrap up and we want our listeners and viewers on YouTube to know where to find you. Please share your handles.
You guys can find me on Instagram at Matthew.Simoneau and Matthew spelled M-A-T-H-I-E-U dot S-I-M-O-N-E-A-U. And then my TikTok is Matthew Simoneau, no dot.
All right. Thank you.
That's where you guys can find me.
Thank you so much. And we'll see
you
again soon.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Thank you.
I learned so much from this episode.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely very interesting behind the scenes look. And man, it was just such a pleasure talking with him.
Yeah.
And just his thoughts on how the modeling industry works and everything.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Yes. So thank you, Matthew. And we hope that we will be able to see you in Korea one day. But yeah, if you wish to stay updated on this show, make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Dive Studio. We're also on TikTok. Full episodes on youtube.com/divepods.
Also, please join us on Patreon at patreon.com/thedivestudios for exclusive content and ad-free listening from The Dive Studios Network.
Once again, subscribe to and review this podcast, and we'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.